If you want to make your way to a seat somewhere nearby and take out your copy of God's Word, today we will be in Psalm 67. Psalm 67. If you're new here at PBC, we generally work our way through books of the Bible a little bit at a time, and we're taking somewhat of a break in doing so to kind of remind ourselves of our church's mission and our church's vision. And so we're going to be, last week we looked at the church's mission, and then today we're going to be considering the church's vision. So mission and vision, that's where we will be today. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday we begin a series in Kings. So those of you who like to prepare yourselves for the Lord's Day worship, let me just encourage you to, sometime this week, read 1 Kings 1 and 2. We'll be looking to consider those next Lord's Day. All right, Psalm 67. I'll read the whole text, which we'll have on the screen here for you, and then I'll pray for the Lord's time, pray for our time in this text, and then we'll work our way through it a little bit at a time. Generally, it should be about 45 minutes or so. Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let's pray. I've counted as loss all things because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness that is my own that comes through the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith. Lord, what a gift it is that you have given to us, faith, by which we have received the righteousness of God, by which we are able to count the loss of all things as nothing in the advance and service of your glorious gospel. Jesus, be big in our study of this text this morning. Amen. Here's the assertion this morning, that God blesses Pickwa Baptist Church so that through us, Jesus Christ would become the delight of all peoples. That God blesses us, his church, so that through us, Jesus would become the delight of all peoples. So the mission statement of Pickwa Baptist Church is, we exist to proclaim the excellencies of Christ through gospel-centered preaching, Christ-exalting worship, Christ-forming discipleship, Christ-like service in Pickwa, in Miami County, in the world, until Christ is the delight of all. So we call our mission statement. And in our mission statement is contained both the mission of Pickwa Baptist and also the vision of Piqua Baptist. And sometimes these get tangled up. It's a means and ends sort of thing. Last week, we focused on the mission of the church, which is the proclaiming of the excellencies of Christ. That's what we do. That's our means. And this morning, we're focusing on the vision of Piqua Baptist Church, which appears at the end of our statement, until Christ is the delight of all. That's what we want. That's the ends. So the mission statement answers the question why we exist and what it is that we're supposed to do. And the vision statement answers the question of what do we want? What is the future that we want? What is the goal of Piqua Baptist Church? Mission is about identity and purpose and present activity. But vision is about aspiration. It's about destination. It's what we want the thing to be when we accomplish the mission. And truth be told, you have a mission and a vision in your life. Whether or not you've ever sat down and thought about it, you have both a mission and a vision. The vision is the future that you want for yourself. The mission is how you get there. So think about vacation. So many of us are on vacation, and some of you are yet to go on vacation. Think about what you think about when you plan for a vacation. Your vision is what you want to get from the vacation. You see yourself planted in a comfy chair with a cold drink in your hand and wind in your hair, or your bald scalp, as the case may be. Or maybe you see yourself and your family experiencing beautiful and new things. That's your vacation vision. That's the end. The mission is what you do to get yourself into that comfortable chair, to experience those new things. It's the financial self-control that you exercise in order to save for the vacation. It's the packing of the car and the mapping of the trip and the scheduling of the events and the work of preparation that goes into your vacation. It's what you do, the means. So the vision of PBC is that Christ would be the delight of all. And this vision of ours is constantly under threat. And it's why we're doing this series this summer. Because there's an enemy, and he does not want Christ to be the delight of all in Piqua, Miami County, and the world. One of the threats that is laid against our vision is distraction. Probably the most effective thing laid against our vision, distraction. Blinking lights in the corner of your vision, begging for your attention, and they're pretty. Oh, and here's what's so tricky about these flashing, blinking lights is that they're good. They're not bad things. They're all good things. A nicer house can be a blinking light in your life. A new car when your car works just fine can be a blinking light. A new phone when your phone works just fine can be a blinking light. A church building filled with people can be a blinking light. A beautiful facility, clean living, a happy family. These are all good things. These are all things I pray for you. I want these things for you, but they're not things worthy of your vision. They can't carry the weight. They're distractions. Another threat to the vision of our church is that we would, and Jay mentioned this earlier, settle for the lesser. Back to the vacation illustration. So imagine that your vision, your vacation vision, is for a beach vacation. And you're sacrificing and saving money and setting it aside and leaving it alone, saying no to good things so that you can have a better thing. And one day you're walking through Home Depot and you notice they sell bags of sand. Oh, and look, an inflatable pool. Well, you do the calculation and you think, well, that's way cheaper. So you buy the bags of sand and you inflate the pool in your backyard and you sprinkle the sand around and you get yourself into a chair and a cold drink and the wind in your hair and you think, beach vacation. But it's not a beach vacation. Similar, there are similarities. Feels close. But it's not a beach vacation. You've settled. Let me make this personal. Real talk, okay? Some of you in this room remember a time when this room was full. And the Lord was doing a lot at Pickwell Baptist Church. People here on Sundays, people here on Wednesdays. VBS was great. And then things happened, as they do sometimes. Leadership changes. Some decisions to change some things were good. Some decisions to change were not so good. There was conflict. Membership began to hemorrhage. And then things got lean. And you went without a pastor for a long time. And then COVID came. Others of you in this room, not so long ago, were a part of a church plant. A new church. Gritty. No money. When things needed done, we just did them. The church was growing. The facility we were meeting in was tight. People were on top of each other. And then two churches merged. And things changed. Felt different. Some left on both sides. It hurt. I still feel the pain of it. And then a missionary family got dropped off on our doorstep. And we happily took them in. And we loved on them. And we learned from them. And by God's grace, we sent them back out. It was one of the greatest privileges of my life. Thank you for letting me be a part of that. And then our roof about caved in. But we bonded together. And we moved to the gymnasium. We prayed. And we sacrificed. And we rebuilt the auditorium. Debt-free. And we hung up the folding chairs, praise the Lord. And we sat our rears down in these nice, comfy chairs, praise the Lord. And it's great. Thank you for letting me be a part of that. We did it. And I fear an exhale. We're here. We've arrived. No. Pickwell Baptist Church, we have not arrived. The building is done. The missionary is settled. The merger is merged. But we have not arrived. Don't settle for lesser things. These blessings... And they are blessings from the Lord for us. Our blinking lights. They're good. We're glad to have them. But they are not worthy of our vision. They are means. They are not ends. Psalm 67. It's one of those places in Scripture that reminds us of that very thing. 3 points, you can see them on the screen. Delighted by grace, verses 1 to 2. Driven by delight, verses 3 to 5. And then finally devoted to vision in verses 6 to 7. This whole sermon, by the way, is about one word in this psalm. One Hebrew word that is one letter. It's a preposition, because prepositions are important. Preposition that is translated into English as the word that. Listen for it as we read verses 1 and 2 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. If you've read your Bible, then verse 1 should sound familiar. If you were a Jew living in the 10th century BC, it would have certainly been familiar. There are words in there, phrases in there that are an important part of your story, the story of your people. Verse 1 is a rephrasing of what is called the Aaronic blessing. Aaronic being from Aaron. Aaron being the first high priest of Israel. The one who represented the people of Israel to God. This was a blessing that Aaron gave, that he was to speak over the people of God. Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Three key words in that blessing appear in Psalm 67, verse 1. And that is not an accident. The psalmist is calling for the blessing of God upon the people of God because of who they are, because of whose they are, because of Yahweh's purpose for them. They were descendants of Abraham. You see, long before this psalm was written, God entered into an agreement with a man called Abraham, a covenant. And God said to him, trust me, follow me. I will bless you and make you a blessing to all the nations of the earth. But if you don't, there will be a curse of death to follow. When the Lord delivered Israel out of slavery in Egypt, he led them to himself in the wilderness, and there he reissued this agreement, this covenant. Trust me, follow me, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. But if you break the covenant, the curses of death will follow. And the Aaronic blessing is a prayer asking Yahweh to bless his people, to prosper his people, so that they would be a blessing to the nations, so they would carry out God's purpose on the earth. And Psalm 67:1 reminds them both of the blessing, and then verse 2, of the purpose of the blessing. Verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among the nations. God's blessing upon God's people is a means to an end. God's blessing is the pathway. It is not the destination. And that word that, one Hebrew word, one Hebrew letter, that word that is pivotal. Why should they pray that Yahweh would bless them? Why do they want the blessing of God? Because they need to subsidize making his way known on the earth, to subsidize making his saving power known among the nations. Blessing is a means to the end of mission. And it's crucial we get this right. If we return to something we talked about last Lord's Day, God kept his end of the covenant that he made with Israel. He blessed Abraham in spite of Abraham. He blessed Israel in spite of Israel. And the generation that he delivered out of slavery, the generation with whom he made the covenant, rebelled against him. He brought them to the banks of the river Jordan, promised to drive out all the nations on the other side, promised to give the land they inhabited to them. But they said no. They refused to enter. And if you've read the story, you understand why. There are giants in the land. It's scary on the other side of the River Jordan. It takes a lot of faith to be a people raised in the wilderness to fight bad guys. A people raised as slaves to fight armies, invade cities. There will be losses that they will suffer. There was a price that would be paid. And so they wouldn't. Why would we do this? Why would we sacrifice like this? We had free food in Egypt, is what they said. Which is technically true. Slaves are given free food, in a sense. So God sent them back into the wilderness. They ran around for 40 years in circles until they all died. God kept his word. He brought the next generation into the promised land, and there he blessed them. And God kept telling that generation over and over and over again, don't forget me. When you get in the land, when I bless you, remember your purpose. The blessing isn't supposed to stay with you. It's meant to flow through you and out to the nations. Well, guess what happened? Instead of being a light to the nations, they became like the nations. When Israel abandoned Yahweh and his covenant, he corrected them. And sometimes, by God's grace, they repented. And it seemed like things were going in a good direction. He'd give them judges to remind them. He'd give them prophets to remind them. He'd give them kings to remind them. Help them remember the Lord. Help them keep the covenant. Help them receive the blessing and be what God has called them to be. But their hearts were hearts of stone. And they kept on rebelling against God. And by the way, this went on for 800 years. I mean, I turned to my dad voice after the second time. God was patient with Israel for 8 centuries. God said, when you break my covenant, the curse of death will come. And that's what happened. Eventually, judgment came and Israel was destroyed. And so, at the right time, God the Son took on flesh and became man. Like Israel, Jesus came up out of Egypt. Like Israel, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Like Israel, Jesus was tested in the wilderness. But unlike Israel, Jesus did not compromise. He did not lose sight of the vision. He trusted his Father. He kept the covenant. And so, throughout the Lord Jesus' ministry, Jesus makes God's way known. He showed God's way. He was God's way. Throughout his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus made God's saving power known. He showed God's salvation. He was God's salvation. And the blessing of God was lost on Israel, then was redeemed in Christ. And Jesus died on the cross to bear the curse of their broken covenant. Because Jesus took the curse of death, the Bible says that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham goes to the nations. How is that? Because you're looking at the text, and the discerning reader might say, well, that Jesus never went to the nations. In his earthly ministry, the man never stepped foot on foreign soil. How can he be the fulfillment of Psalm 69 and bring the blessing of God that he had promised to Abraham out to the nations? Well, if you have a Bible, keep your finger in Psalm 67 and flip forward in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse 19. Go, therefore, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, make disciples of, what does your Bible say? All nations. Now skip forward to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. But you, again Jesus speaking to the disciples, will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to where? The ends of the earth. So yes, Jesus did fulfill Psalm 67. His way is being made known on earth, his saving power known among the nations. It happens when you and me, his church, spirit-inspired, empowered witnesses, goes and makes disciples and lives as his witnesses. The blessing of God to Pickle Baptist Church is for this purpose, that his way would be known on earth, that his saving power would be made known to the nations. The Lord has blessed you, dear Christian, that you would make his way known on the earth. That's why God saved you. It's why you're still alive. I think I've made this point here before, but I'll make it again. You're saved. Praise the Lord. Guaranteed heaven. Praise the Lord. And heaven is a better place than you have right now, here on earth. Praise the Lord. What does he have you here for? Why wait? Why not just save you and take you on to glory? This is why. That his way would be made known on the earth. You, dear Christian, are blessed with the forgiveness of sins. You are blessed with the reconciliation with God. You are blessed with peace with God. You are blessed with the membership of being in God's family, that you would make God's way known on the earth, in Piqua, in Miami County, and the earth. This is why. This is the purpose. This is why church membership exists. Did you know? Listen to what Jesus prayed in John 17. That my people may be one. So this is Jesus praying to the Father. My people would be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Church membership is the process by which God's people in one place commit to live for something bigger than themselves, to stir one another up to love and good works, to encourage one another in faithfulness and in their joy in the Lord. This is woven throughout our church's membership covenant. Listen to the language of our church's covenant. That we commit to exercise affectionate care and watchfulness over each other. We commit to participate in one another's joys and carry one another's burdens and sorrows. So many of you do that. So well. Thank you. Your joy increases in the Lord as a result of it. My joy increases in the Lord as a result of it. And yet there are some of us who have really no actual experience with, what's the language again, exercising affectionate care and watchfulness over anyone else in the church. Some of the members of our church wouldn't really know what it means to participate in one another's joys and carry and bear one another's burdens. And it's just because they're not here. Some can't be, providentially, and that's not on them. But others can be. And so, as a result, their joy in the Lord is capped. And also, our joy in the Lord is capped. And if that's you, I just would love to, by the power of the Spirit, disabuse you of worldly thinking. That your faith is so personal that you just do it on your own and you're not really dependent upon any other person. Friend, that's not true, and it's not good, and won't lead to human flourishing, and won't lead to the advance of the gospel. We, who have forfeited our lives through abject wickedness, we who have spurned our Creator's love, we who have been selfish and unkind, we have been transformed by the power of the gospel so that by God's grace, your transformation could be put on display to outsiders who don't know him, who are slaves to unrighteousness. If you're a guest with us, I just want to say to you, one of the reasons why you're here is to see what God... We have something going on in the marquee out there. It says, come and see what God has done for sinners. That's kind of what we're doing. You show up here at church and you see people who are regulars and you see... I just want you to know, like, we were where you were. We were where you are right now. And the Lord set his love on us and transformed our hearts and gave us real joy, true delight, and everlasting life. And friend, when you turn from your sin this morning, trusting in him, God will do the same for you. He will cleanse you of the unrighteousness that you've carried into this room. He will give you peace. He will give you joy. He will give you delight. He will give you eternal life. It all happened because God sent his Son who died on the cross and rose from the dead. And when you turn to him in faith, that's yours. Promised to you. So before you leave this place, repent of your sins, trust in him, and talk with someone. Ask them to tell you more about the power of the gospel and how it transforms lives. This God takes the worst of sinners, sets his love on them, gives them a new heart, gives them new desires, molds them into his image, makes the selfish selfless, makes the arrogant humble, makes the most offensive person into the most pleasing person. He takes those who are enslaved to sin and turns them into freedmen in Christ Jesus. He unlocks true joy and gives them hearts that delight in him, hearts that are satisfied in him, hearts that are enthralled with him. And in their delight in him, they go. He sends them, driven by delight. Let's pick up reading in verse 3. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the nations with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Psalm 67 is what is called a chiasm. It's a common structure in Hebrew poetry and writing where this sort of works up to the middle and finds its main point and then works reflexively back down. So the first point corresponds to the last point and the second point to the second to last point, and the main point comes in the middle, which means that the main point of Psalm 67 is verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. This is the vision. The phrase, until Christ is the delight of all, is simply a rephrasing of verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. This is the destination. This is that to which we aspire. This is the comfy chair and the cold drink and the wind in your hair. This is our that. So that all the nations would enjoy Christ. Missions is the central hub of everything that we do. Everything flows into it, flows out from it. Everything is about the glory that God receives when his people delight in him. That is why we give. That is why we go. That is why we proclaim the excellencies of Christ, so that all people would delight in the one who is most delightful. Evangelism is for happiness. Delight is both the fuel and the goal of evangelism and missions. We are driven by delight. You can hear it in the psalm. 4 times he says, let the peoples praise you. Joy for who God is, joy for what God has done, spills out of them in the form of a prayer, presses them through the prayer room and out to the lost. This is what makes his heart beat. Let the nations be glad and rejoice. The psalmist is so happy in his God, he just wants others to know his happiness too. This is what drives evangelism and missions. And by the way, you're already doing this. If you are a human whose affectional life works like it generally should, you're already doing this. When you find something amazing, your delight in that thing drives you to share that thing with other people. Well, you got to check out this new coffee shop that I found. Have you been to that thrift store? It's amazing. Have you tasted of this recipe? You are already driven by delight. And evangelism is just telling people, here is true happiness. Here is real joy. You think that inflatable pool in the backyard is amazing? Wait till you see the ocean. That's evangelism. But sin and the devil have conspired to convince people that God is not like that. God is, what would we say, a galactic sourpuss. Anywhere he sees people having fun, he squashes it out like a bug. But if that's true, explain to me verse 4. Let the nations be glad. It is God's desire for them to rejoice. What is it that the psalmist knows that we don't know? The psalmist knows that the feeling and emotion of delight was created by God and given to his creation so that he would be the fulfillment of their delight. God gave you the emotion of delight so that he could be your delight. God gave you the feeling of joy so that he would be your joy. And that means that your evangelism is simply telling people where they can actually find joy. That Christ Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. Come to him, sinner. Have your sins forgiven. Have your hearts come alive for the first time and find the true purpose of your life. And then when someone responds and comes to Christ, God grants them repentance, opens their eyes to the glories of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and God gives them new hearts and new desires. Do you know what it does for you? It increases your delight in the one who saves sinners. And the more you see them delighting in the Lord, the more you delight in the Lord. You want to know what the Christian life is? It's that. It's delighting in the Lord, sharing your delight with others, and when they delight in the Lord, your delight increases. That's the Christian life, driven by delight. So this is our goal. This is our vision. That Christ would be the delight of all. And as I said at the beginning, it has to be protected. So we'll spend the next 5 minutes or so considering the ways in which we can protect this vision. Let's pick up reading of verse 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So PBC is, I think Jay read it earlier in the service today. Delight yourself in the Lord. It's a command. So those people who consider God to be that cosmic killjoy, a cosmic killjoy is not going to command his people to delight. When we gather on the Lord's Day, this is what we do. We seek to delight ourselves in the Lord. We're like a solar field sitting under the hot noonday sun, soaking up the glory of God's grace, and then shooting it out the power lines of our lives. This is why we want God to bless Piqua Baptist Church, that we can be a blessing by pointing others to the way that they can be truly happy. Because when God is their joy in their lives, the earth itself responds. You heard it right. There's this, look at verse 6. The earth has yielded its increase. There's this fascinating text in Romans where the Apostle Paul says that when sin entered the world, creation itself was subjected to futility, that is in bondage to corruption. Creation is groaning, which is why, by the way, this is why we have natural disasters and earthquakes and whatnot. But it also means that an orange is not quite what it meant to be. Strange as it sounds, the sweetest and most perfect peach is frustratingly short of what God actually made it to be. But as the Lord makes his way known on the earth through his people and his glorious pleasures pressing out through their lives, and more people delight in the Lord, strange as it sounds, the earth itself responds and yields its increase. When the Lord Jesus returns, he makes all things new. He gives you glorified bodies, and you will experience God's pleasures forevermore, and the earth will be what God made it to be. The orange will be the way God made it to be. And this is what gives Christians hope. This God keeps his promises. His will be done. When the rest of the world is reeling under news of wars and rumors of wars, corruption of all kinds, great levels of anxiety and depression and people hurting themselves, Christians stand tall with joy on their face, praying to God to come with their hope anchored in Jesus Christ. When we see our wonderful country abandoning her values, and society, when we fear, is teetering on the edge of collapse, Christians, we don't fear. We pray for her. We work to help change her, but we don't fear. Because our hope is not tied to one single country, it's tied to an empty tomb. Just consider, if the history of redemption were laid out like a calendar, America would have showed up somewhere around December 16th. If the Church of Jesus Christ were represented, I figured this out this morning, if the Church of Jesus Christ were represented by all of the chairs in this room, those two rows right there would represent us. 93% of Christians alive live outside this country. When we walk into this room, we step off American soil and onto the soil of the kingdom of God. This place is an embassy of God's kingdom. Though the earth gives way, we do not fear. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so our mission and our vision does not rise or fall based on what you read in the news, based on what you see in the trajectory of our society. The grave is empty. Our future is secure. Our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases. So we can stand tall and protect the vision. And so we can be careful of the exhale. Because we know that we have not arrived, that there is much work to be done, and each one of you has a part to play in that. So yes, pray that God will bless Piqua Baptist Church and pray that he would keep our that from being distracted or our that from settling for lesser things. And seek by God's grace in the morning, in the afternoons and evening to be like that solar field and to sit under the sunlight of God the Son and be charged up and send your delight out through power lines of your life into relationships, into the ministries in your home, into the ministries in the church, into the ministries in your neighborhood, and the ministries of work, until Christ is the delight of all. Jesus said it best. We'll give him the last word. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let me pray. Lord, take your word and write its truth upon our hearts. For the grass withers and the flower falls, but your word of our Lord will remain forever.